The first scripture this morning is from the Old Testament, the book of Micah, the second the fifth chapter, second through fifth verse. This is, as you might predict, a prophecy about what will be coming in the New Testament, which is next. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth, and the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. If the Assyrians come into our land and tread on our soil, we will raise against them 7 shepherds and 8 rulers. And from the New Testament, from the book of Mark, the first chapter, verses 2-8, we start with a quote from Isaiah, from a prophecy again. And after the quote from Isaiah comes Mark's description of something which is very, very familiar to all of us for Advent. Listen for the word of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, quote, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." End quote. So John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the whole Judean region and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the strap of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. O Lord God, as we reflect upon these scripture passages this morning, we ask that your Holy Spirit guide my words and all of our thoughts this morning. Amen. Samantha's face was one of pure excitement. The 23-year-old woman had just stepped onto an airplane for the first time in her life, and she was relishing the sheer wonder of it. She tested her seatbelt several times. She adjusted the overhead light and vent several times just because she could. She looked out the window and was enthralled when she saw the plane pull away from the gate. She found the safety procedure card in the seat pocket and read it over carefully. When the flight attendant stood in the aisle of the plane and gave her instructions, Samantha took notes. However, on that plane, Samantha was the only one to be so excited. She looked around at her fellow passengers and saw. What did she see? She saw people sleeping, people thumbing through magazines, people working on laptops, people playing games on their phones, people with their heads in a pillow heading towards sleep. Every other passenger on that plane either looked preoccupied or bored. Now, you and I know why those other passengers were preoccupied and bored, don't we? They had been down this road before, or better said, they'd been on this flight before. They didn't need to hear the instructions from the flight attendants. They knew them by heart. They didn't need to look out the window. They had seen the same view dozens of times before. They were frequent flyers, and for them, there was no longer any wonder, no longer any magic in getting on an airplane. They had frequent flyer syndrome. Yeah. You know, the same thing can happen to us at this time of year. I would dare say that most of us enter the Advent season with some form of frequent flyer syndrome because we have all been there before. We have traveled through the Advent season so often that we are travel weary. The wonder has disappeared. The magic has been lost. What is left is for us to be preoccupied, stressed, or even bored with all that happens in the Advent season. I read a story a while back about a couple going Christmas shopping with their young daughter. The girl was thrilled by the Christmas season and was so excited to be going out shopping. Her parents, however, were just the opposite. They were grumpy and grouchy and uptight and generally unpleasant to be with. Where the girl saw fancy decorations and bright lights, her parents saw no parking spaces and long lines. When the family returned home that night, the girl was dancing around the living room, but the father was at the end of his rope and told the girl to stop dancing and go to bed. Before she headed to bed, the girl suddenly opened the window. And the father asked, what was she doing? And the girl said she thought she heard angels singing outside. The father snapped, "I don't hear any angels and neither do you. Now go to bed." The girl started up the stairs, but paused and turned to her father and said, "Daddy, if you want to hear the angels sing, you have to listen with your heart." And with that, she gently hugged her father and went to bed. I wonder if that's not the sort of magic and excitement we need to reclaim for ourselves this Advent season. Maybe we need something or someone to shake us out of our doldrums, to help us find our faith renewed in the Advent season. Maybe somewhere, somehow, there's a way for us to get back to hearing the angels. Even if we get passé about the Christmas season, we yearn for something more. Something more meaningful than the parties and gifts and decorations. We yearn for Advent to give us something that we can't find in our everyday world, a sense of God's presence. This year particularly, there is a collective anxiousness about the state of things in our world. with wars breaking out in different corners of the planet, with political unrest and uncertainty here at home, with the lingering effects of the pandemic still causing disruptions in our lives, our anxiousness is well earned, isn't it? We feel like the world is at the edge of something, and that edge of something isn't good. So perhaps our scripture lessons this morning can help us. After all, things were no different in Micah's time, and people were just as anxious in the time of John the Baptist. When Micah spoke his words to the people of Israel, the country was at war. The northern part of Israel had been conquered, and refugees were heading south. There was a real threat to the southern part of the country, including the capital, Jerusalem, that they would be next to fall. The people looked to their leaders and saw only corruption and cronyism. Hope seemed to be lost. But it was into this mess that Micah told them to look. Not to look to Jerusalem, the center of all things, but to look instead to Bethlehem. There, Micah tells them, there they will find their hope. John the Baptist, in our reading from Mark, tells a similar story. People in his day, some 800 years after Micah, were anxious as well. And there was a yearning for God to make a difference in their world. John's message was that they needed to refocus, to make themselves right with God, and if they did, they would be ready to meet their God who was surely coming. Both Micah and John were directing their audiences to what we seek even now. The presence of God in the midst of our travails. And both are saying that we won't find it by looking to what the world has to offer. We will only find it by looking to what God has to offer. For Micah, the message is that we will find God at work in the unexpected places of the world. Bethlehem was a backwater town like so many other backwater towns in the world. But it was out of this backwater town that God would lift up a Savior, a ruler who would bring peace to the world. For John, the message we find is that we need to prepare the way for this Savior, this ruler of all creation. We prepare the way by preparing ourselves, by repenting or turning ourselves back towards God. And there we will discover the joy and the power of God's forgiving love. Both messages are messages of hope in troubled times. Hope that is so desperately needed in our own troubled times. Years ago, in the small Alaskan town, happened to be named Hope, it was hit by a devastating flood. No lives were lost, but there was tremendous property damage. One of the bishops of the church went to see how he might help. And when he got to the town, he found it completely deserted. However, someone had placed a small sign in the center of what had been Main Street. And the sign read, "The Community of Hope has moved to higher ground." The Community of Hope has moved to higher ground. You know, that might just be the message of Advent, isn't it? This is what Micah and John are offering to us by suggesting we will find our hope on higher ground than where we've been looking. They remind us of the power and love of God. They remind us where to anchor our faith. They remind us that we can still find wonder in our world. As we begin this Advent season, we might want to listen to the prophets of old to remind all of us of what our calloused eyes and ears might possibly see this Advent season, that we might possibly see the wonder that is there, the hope that is possible, the faith that God grants us. If we are able to do this Advent season, we might find our faith renewed. And maybe, just maybe, we might hear the voices of angels singing. Amen.